Good morning. Welcome to everyone who's here. Welcome to those listening online. We are looking at the Sefer Teferis Shlomo for in preparation for Yom Kippur. And so we begin with a thought regarding the great day of Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara tells us, Kol ochel b'tshi'i, anyone who eats on the 9th of Tishrei, Male alav akasuv, the verse considers it, ki'ilu is ane tishi'i v'asiri, as if the person fasted on both the 9th and the 10th. How do we know this? Because the pasuk uses terms that seem to suggest that you should be fasting on the 9th of Tishrei. And yet we know that it means the 10th. So it means you start on the 9th, you add into the 9th, because you're supposed to add to Sefes Yom Kippurim, you're supposed to start Yom Kippur a little bit early, and it starts as the 9th goes into the 10th, but our sages understood something deeper. They understood that actually you are fasting on the 9th, because if you eat on the 9th, it's as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. Hanirah Levayer Bezeh, how do we understand that? So an interesting take on this concept, and a very interesting idea that all of us can appreciate. Al pi mashikasu b'gemara, the Gemara says, Sifrei hachayim v'sifrei hamesim psuchim lefanav. That Hashem sits in judgment on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, and the books are open. What are the books? The Sifrei chayim and Sifrei hamesim, the books of the living and the books of the dead. What does that mean? The way it's usually simplified as is the books of the righteous, those who are written into the book of life because they've been righteous, and those who are written into the book of death because they are wicked. Then you should say Sifrei Tzadikim and Sifrei Rishayim, right? Why does he call them the book of the living and the book of the dead? It almost sounds like they're living and dead before they're put in the book. So Perish Adavar, so the Teferi Shlomo, the Radamsker, is going to suggest a new idea. Ki kol mitzvos umasim tovim. All the mitzvos and all the good deeds, Shehaadam osa, that a person does, Beratzon hatov, with goodwill, Ubesimcha, and with joy, Hu hanichta b'sefer chayim, that's written in the Book of Life. Because those mitzvahs have life in them. And those mitzvahs have joy in them. As it says in the Torah, a person should do those mitzvahs and live by them. So when you do mitzvahs, and those mitzvahs are filled with life, those go into the Book of Life. But if a person does a mitzvah, with sadness, without life, Hu anikra sifrei hamesim, that's what's written in the Book of the Dead. An interesting idea. Right? The books of the dead is not the books of the people who are destined to die this year, but rather Hashem is opening all these books, and in it are the mitzvahs that you did that are alive, and the mitzvahs that you've done that are dead. Ki hu b'lichius, they have no life. So that, first of all, before we go on, it's just there's two interesting things to think about. Number one, that's somehow how mitzvahs are divided, right? Into mitzvahs that do have life in them and mitzvahs that don't have life in them. And let me explain this point. The Holy Sfarim write that if a person does a mitzvah and doesn't include within it Ava and Yira, love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, so they don't have wings and they can't go up. That's the expression. That Av and Yir are the two wings that carry a mitzvah up. Now that's a metaphor for, because when you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem doesn't need you to do this. This is, you're fulfilling Hashem's will in order for you to attain your purpose. You're supposed to be excited. And as we know, the part of the Tochacha and Parshas Kisavo is that you didn't do the mitzvahs v'simcha b'tuv levav. So that's the idea here of why he's calling them mitzvahs that are dead. It's because they're essentially just actions that you've done in this world, and the whole spiritual element of them, the soul, if I may, although that's probably the way the Holy Sfarim write it, the soul of the mitzvah, so you've got the body of the mitzvah as the action that you do, and the soul of the mitzvah is the thoughts and feelings that you have. And if you don't have the right thoughts and feelings, then it's just a corpse of a mitzvah.
So you would think the Chataim would be part of it.
Oh, that's different. That's a whole different parasha. Right. And so that's one point. But number two, let's go there to that second point, which is that we're not necessarily dealing with what we think of as averas. Because I think when we do teshuva on Yom Kippur, we tend to think of the things that we did that we shouldn't have, and not so much about the things that we should have that we didn't. And so every time a person does things automatically, and sometimes it happens, you know, if a person's, there's a Hanukkah party, you got to get to the party, but you got to light candles first, using a random example, right? So you just light and run, but you didn't take a minute to invest your heart and soul into it. So that's a mitzvah. He's calling that a corpse of a mitzvah. Okay? But don't get upset, because here's what he's going to tell you. Ubi me'aratzon, during these special days, aseris yimeha teshuva, heimalin es kol amasim, you can take up all of those actions, asher nasu b'chal hashana, which happened the whole year, v'gam ha-mitzvahs shenasu b'lichius, and also the mitzvahs you did without energy and without life, gam heima yesh lahem aliyah l'ratzon l'mala, you can take them up in favor above, ayidei ha-tshuva through teshuva. And the way to explain it is like this. We know that you're supposed to, when you say the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, when you say Echad, you're supposed to think Hashem is one. Ches over the seven heavens and the one earth and the four directions. Echad. How do you have all those thoughts while you're saying the word Echad and you're literally thinking that Hashem is one, so how can I have all those thoughts? And I'm just starting with the basics. Now there's all these other thoughts you're supposed to have. So, and furthermore, it also says that a person should extend the ches of Echad. So I've heard from great tzaddikim who have said that to extend doesn't only mean to extend the syllable, but also means that after you say the word Echad, you can stop for a second and think those thoughts. And the idea that kavana has to be so perfectly synchronized, where when I'm saying the word Baruch, I say blessed atah, and not Baruch Ata Hashem, and I can think in my head, blessed are you Hashem. So there is this idea that maybe you can follow, but usually we would only say that that's immediate. What the Radomsker is teaching us is that all year long we're running around and we're not doing our mitzvahs fully, and our mitzvahs are missing. But only because we're running around and we're not able to stop. But if during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, when it's a time we focus more on the observance of mitzvahs, if we take our time with those mitzvahs and give them meaning, that can retroactively apply to all the mitzvahs we've done all year round, and we can somehow apply the kavana and the meanings and the intentions that we should have had during those times, we can have that during these times. Gam Hema, so all these mitzvahs that we did without life, Yesh lehem aliyah l'ratzon l'mala, they can go up to Shemayim, ayidei ha-tshuva through tshuva, or l'kabel al of omach l'shemayim, to accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, be'emes, be'ava, with truth and with love, be'yamim e'elah niskarim v'nasim, during these special days. And then, if we do that, so Aseres Yemei Teshuva are able to somehow elevate all the mitzvahs every time you said Asher Yatzar. And you couldn't remember afterwards if you said Asher Yatzar. So then, if you say Asher Yatzar during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, you can lift up all your Asher Yatzars. V'zeh pirush sifrei achayim v'sifrei hameisim psuchim lefanav. That's what it means, the books of the living and the books of the dead. Once again, doesn't mean the living people and the dead people, but it means your living mitzvahs and your dead mitzvahs. As they say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, if you would merit to daven one time properly, you would be able to elevate also all the disqualified, if that's the right word, but all the missing tefilos, asher nisharu lamata, which have remained in the world below, ze kama shanim, all these years, because those prayers were missing too much and they were unable to go up, one solid prayer can elevate all of these tefilos, gam hema yachtav yusamim, that they should all join together, v'yalu l'ratzon lamala, and ascend above, because that's that Hashem allows, like I said, for you to afterwards, at the end of the year, so to say, speak, even though it's the beginning of the new year, but it works both ways, to be able to say, I didn't have all those kavanas, but here's the kavanas that I would have had if I would have had the motivations of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva all year round. V'zeh shekasav, and that's why it says in the parasha of Teshuvah, k'chu imachem devarim, take with yourself some words, v'shuvu al Hashem, and return to Hashem. Pirish, what he's saying it means, is gam kol ha'diburim mikol ha'shana. How many words did you speak this past year? How many words did you speak? How many of those words were mitzvahs? And how many of those words were averus? And how many of those words were just silliness? So he's saying, Gam kol ha'diburim mikol ha'shana, all your words of the whole year. Shedibur devarim betelim, if you spoke wasted words, a kedoma, and anything like that. Gam heim yusuknu ha'idea teshuvah, they are also fixed through the process of teshuvah. All, and that's kechu imachem devarim, means take all your words and elevate them. So based on this teaching, I'd like to explain. Why is there a mitzvah to eat on the ninth? On the ninth, people will eat on the ninth of Tishrei, even if Hashem doesn't command them. The next day is Yom Kippur. It's a fast day. It's a 25-hour, 12-minute, however, depending on what you keep, fast. Right? So it's a long fast. People will eat. So why does Hashem give us a mitzvah to do something that we're going to do anyway? The answer is that the mitzvah isn't that you should eat. You'll eat anyway. The mitzvah is k'dei lahalos kol ha'achilos mikol hashana. It's to elevate all the eating that you did through the whole year. Asher hayu bilti kavana ha'ritzuya, and you didn't have the right intentions. You were like, oh, that looks delicious, let me eat it. And you didn't say, oh, that looks delicious, I could serve Hashem better if I partake of this world. And so I'm going to eat this delicious piece of cake and appreciate Hashem's bounty that He has blessed us with, and therefore be more motivated to do mitzvahs. That's what we could have done. Instead, we said, cake. So, but what does that bracha look like? So all of that, that's what he's saying. That's what we're being mali. Well, he's specifically focused on the eating. He said the eating on Erev Yom Kippur, it wasn't for the right reasons, but only for your physical benefit. And you'll say, well, who does that? But we say on Yom Kippur, for the sins that we have sinned before you with food and drink. So we all agree that we've got what to atone for. Says that the Tiferes Shlomo, you can relax when you say that line. In your al-chait, don't feel so bad about your food and drink, because if you ate on Erev Yom Kippur, you've been misakin all your eating and your drinking. Now, ein apirish dafka achilas iser chas v'shalom, it doesn't only mean you're saying al-chait, that we ate things that we weren't allowed to eat, chas v'shalom, who eats on anything they're not allowed to eat? Achapirish gamke, so rather what it means, machal umishta, al-chait shechatan ul-fenachal, we sinned before you with food and drink, shahi avur anas ha-guf, that we only did it for our physical pleasure. That's all. You're allowed to enjoy it. You're allowed to enjoy your food. You're allowed to have physical enjoyment from your food. But not only physical enjoyment from your food, right? Hu gamke pigam, that's also a blemish, and so that's why, that's why the Torah commands us to eat on the ninth. Even though when you're eating on Erev Yom Kippur, you also enjoy the eating. And that is a counterbalanced teshuva, meaning a complete opposite teshuva, the sakin kol hashana, to fix the whole year. Now it's not clear exactly what he means here. Whether he means that even if you, whether it's eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah to to eat whatever you want. Right? There's no, there's a minhagim, but it doesn't say in the Gemara you have to have kraplach. But there's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to eat anything specific. So it's emulating your usual eating. But it's saying that even if you just, ooh, there's a cookie, let me eat it. On Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah. And so because that becomes a mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur, so even though you're doing it because of physical pleasure, so therefore it turns it into a mitzvah. And that then somehow connects to all the eating the whole year. The problem is it doesn't quite literally translate into Tshuvas HaMishkal. Tshuvas HaMishkal usually means that if a person sinned because they ate 3 pounds of prohibited food, that they then do 3 pounds of food worth of fasting. Right? The person, Tshuvas HaMishkal means to counterbalance. So here, if you're just doing more of the same but better, it doesn't feel like a counterbalance. What it could also mean, is, again, his notes are very brief here, but what it could also mean is that on you, whatever you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, whatever you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, your head automatically will go, now I'll fast easier. So your whole eating, even if you try to do it for the sake of pleasure, you're really just doing it so that you can fast tomorrow. So by having the fast tomorrow and then telling you you have to eat today, so even though you want to enjoy the pleasure, you're just thinking of it as, I'll be less hungry tomorrow, Yom Kippur, I'll be able to daven better. So that forces you to eat for the right reason. He doesn't say any of that, but it could be either of those options. But the point is, what he is saying, that you're eating on Erev Yom Kippur, is meant to be a tikkun, a fixing, for all of your eating throughout the whole year. Not just, chas v'shalom, if someone ate something they shouldn't have eaten. But even when you were eating, you can affect and change the meaning and the purpose behind the food that you ate all year round and elevate that by eating on Erev Yom Kippur, in the same way that your tefillos at this time of the year can redefine all your tefillos from the year that has passed, and all your words that you speak during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, k'chu imachem devarim, can elevate all the words that you spoke throughout the whole year. And so that's what the Gemara means. That's what the Gemara means. Kala ocha b'chi ma'al avakas. If you eat on the ninth, it's like you fasted on the ninth and the tenth. Meaning, either you could learn, like we just said, that it's all your enjoyment is just going to Yom Kippur, so it kind of. But you could simply say that the Torah's mitzvah of eating on the ninth is such a great spiritual cleansing that just like you're fasting on Yom Kippur, we know when we fast on Yom Kippur, we say this fasting should be an atonement for all the things we didn't eat correctly. So, but you can eat on the ninth, and that accomplishes the same thing as fasting on the tenth. So that's what the Gemara means, that eating on the ninth is the equivalent of fasting 2 days in a row. And so all of us should appreciate this. We have a mitzvah to eat. It's a much easier mitzvah to keep than the mitzvahs to fast. And now we're learning that not only do we get to have our cake, but we get to eat it too, and we get atonement for it in the elevation of our mitzvahs. But what he's also saying is that this time of the year, all the good things that you do, they have a matching donor. Right? Every time you do something good now, it fixes all the mitzvahs that you've done all year round. And that's a great chizuk, because sometimes we feel like, if I could go back and say all those asher yatzaros again, or make those brachas again, so we can do that and by focusing during these days. Okay, next. Okay, that was from his Torah on Erev Yom Kippur. Now we're going into Yom Kippur itself. Bezos yavo Aharon el HaKodesh. With this, Aaron shall come into the holy, and this describes in the Torah, Parshas Achrei, the reading of Yom Kippur, of how the Kohen Gadol would do the Voda on Yom Kippur, and here's all the things that Aaron has to do. Tzarech le'izbonen b'zeh. An interesting question. Read the whole parsha, and you'll hear it by the Torah laning on Yom Kippur. It doesn't say the Kohen. It this it uses Aaron, and Aaron shall go, and Aaron, Kama Shikasa Bezos Yavo Aaron, Uba Aaron. He keeps referring to what should be the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, keeps referring to him by name. There were many Kohen Gadols whose name was not Aharon. Right? If you read the Torah literally, maybe that was some tzaduki who came up with this idea that maybe you'd have to have someone called Aharon. Right? But that's not the case. So why does the Torah use Aharon? We know Aharon was the Kohen Gadol, but the Torah doesn't say that in all places. Gam, also, Masha Avodas Yom Kippurim, why is the avodah of Yom Kippur only with the Kohen Gadol? All year round, he did everything on that day. All the avodah himself. That's a lot of work. Usually, there's a lot of Kohanim involved. So what's the answer? I think we all understand the answer to that second question. Achian ki the Gadol Kedusha Sayom, because the day is such a holy day. So the service had to be Ayidei Mifchar HaAnushi. It's the holiest day, so you have to have the holiest person, the chosenest person. I didn't say choiciest, but that's not right. Who a Kohen Gadol? That's the Kohen Gadol. Ashahoyilo Hachana. He had to prepare Uprisha Yisera, and he had to Hachana Uprisha Yisera B'chal Hashan all year round. Not just on Yom Kippur, but all year round, he is a separate and elevated and exalted from the people. He's always by the Beis HaMikdash. He never leaves. Kasha Nafsha Yudas, because every Kohen knows, Ki Yukanes Lefnai V'Lefnim L'Chaper V'Avadaso Akal Yisrael. So if you come to a Kohen Gadol, you come to him with a piece of treif food and you say, here, eat, he's going to think to himself, if I eat this, I'm not going to survive Yom Kippur. Right? So the Kohen Gadol knew that going into the Holy of Holies, and that's why we know throughout the second Beis Hamikdash, there were the Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years, and Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Kohen Gadol for 80, Shimon HaTzadik was for 40. There were a few other Kohanim Gadolim, and yet they still had over 200 Kohanim Gadolim. Why? Because people would pay for the job, and then they would die in Yom Kippur. Right? They would get themselves force themselves in. Why people do that? Why would someone do that? The answer is honor is very powerful. Yeah, it's the most powerful position in the right. So, but we're not talking about those guys. We're talking about the holy Kohanim Gedolim from the first Beis Hamikdash and the holy ones from the second Beis Hamikdash. All year round, they remained holy. Umachmas Godel Aprishus V'Atahara, and because they were so separate and so pure. He was able not only to inspire and call up his own merit, but Zuchusa shel Aaron Akohen Gadol Harishon, but he also had the merit of Aaron Akohen. And if the Radomsker wouldn't say this, I couldn't say such a thing, but he can. So here he says, Ad Asher Aaron Ba'atzmo Hayanichnas Imo B'Shas Ha'avoda. Every Kohen Gadol who was holy did not go in himself, but his Zayda, Aaron HaKohen, went in with him. And that's why Aaron's name is mentioned, because the Torah is actually giving instructions to Aaron HaKohen how he should help his grandson, the Kohen Gadol, to do the Avodah. The Chazal uses an interesting language. Shekal Avodos Einam Kisheres Ela Bo. The avodas of Yom Kippur are only kosher through him, Bo. V'hikshu b'tosus, says Tosus, what do you mean? Alo ashchita es ikshera bizar. Shchita can be done by a non-Kohen. V'fianal nicha da'achibush, and here's what it means. Shkal avodas Yom Kippurim en ikshera rak al yidei Aaron ba'atzmo. It's not talking about the Kohen Gadol. It's saying that Aaron has to do all the avodas of Yom Kippur. Ki hu ahoye mesayei alechol Kohen Gadol. He was there to help every Kohen Gadol. Ba'avodas ayom, in the service of the day, ki ilu hu ha'yachai, as if Aharon HaKohen was alive. Okay, now to make such a statement, you have to have some source. Right? So he presents it. B'zeh yivur ma'amar ha'gemar, there's a gemara that says, Eitzel Shimon HaTzadik, by Shimon HaTzadik, he came out of the Kodesh Kodashim one year, And he said that this was going to be his last Yom Kippur. So they said to him, "How do you know?" Amalahem, he says, "Shari Mishamish Bekuna Gedola Peishana Shbi Memshana Amalahem Kol Yom Kippurim every Yom Kippur, when I go in, Nizdamin Li Zakin Echad Lavush Levanim, an old man dressed in white joins me, but this year he's dressed in black." Yeah. Right, this year was different. V'nichnas v'yatzeimi. Toises the Ramaschal is Damani Zakin Echad, but Yerushalmi Parach, the Yerushalmi asks, how could there be such a thing? V'chsivachal Adam liyeh ba'Ohel Moed, how could there be a person with him there? No person's allowed to be there in the Ohel Moed when the Kohen Gadol is there. Gam Tzarech Lahavin, and also we have to understand, hello, a Kohen Gadol la'atzmo u'gankin Adam, the Kohen Gadol is a person. So why does it say that no person should be there during this time? But based, if you understand what I'm telling you, that old man that Shimon HaTzadik saw, which is the difference between him and perhaps other Kohanim, is that he saw Aaron going in with him. But you should know, Aaron HaKohen never entered into the Holy of Holies as a human being. But rather, Aaron HaKohen knew how to undress himself of all his physicality, to divest himself of his corporeal state. So this is true of every Kohen Gadol. Hanichnas la'avoda, if the Kohen Gadol comes to do the avoda, machmes yisoros kocho shel Aaron, if he did the right thing and he had the power of Aaron behind him, Hayibal Madrega Zu, Lichnos Babachina Zu, would also reach this place where he was no longer a human being when he went into the Holy of Holies, because they would leave their physical shells behind them. Now, other Kohanim are not on the level to do this, so that's why Aaron HaKohen would help them. V'zeh Pirush, and that's what the Pasuk means, V'Kohen HaMashiach Tachtav Mibanav, the Kohen who is anointed in his place of his children. So when it says, the Torah talks about the next Kohen Gadol, the Torah says, the Kohen who's anointed, tachtav, in his place, mi banav, of his children. That's a double language. And the answer is, tachtav means that they have to take his place. They have to come with the midaso shel Aaron, the attribute of Aaron. But that's why it says in Tehillim, zekan Aaron, the beard of Aaron, sheyored al pi midosav, which descends by his attributes. And it's not exactly clear. It's not an easy chapter in Tehillim to read. The Gemara in Krisus has an explanation about the oil that Aaron was anointed by. But he's saying, ayidei midaso shel Aaron, that Aaron's midos, his greatness, was such, nishar koach al kol kohen gadol, that he empowered every future kohen gadol. Hanichnas la'avodu, goes in to do the avoda properly, lius nichnas imo, that Aaron will go in with him. Very similar to the concept of, let's say, the Yushpizin, where we find that Avram Avinu comes in with you into the sukkah on the first day, and Yitzchak comes into you. And in some sense, they all come in, but it's more one more than the other. But by the great tzaddikim, they tell stories of guests who didn't walk through the front door of the sukkah, right? But yet people could see that guest. Right? And so we're saying that there's a concept like this, certainly in the Kodesh Kodashim, on the Holy of Holies, that Aaron HaKohen is still doing the avoda when with his grandchildren. V'zeh pirush ha-mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Masruhu, that the Kohen Gadol was transferred, Ziknei Beis Din, the elders of the Beis Din, they transferred him, L'ziknei Kohuna, to the elders of the Kohanim. So he's saying, it's not the elder Kohanim, like the Kohanim who are the senior Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. But the elder Kohanim means the Kohanim of the ancient. Right? Olam azikna ki yedu liyodachem, the realm of old age. Kamo shikasa v'Avraham Avinu, it says by Avraham also. V'Avraham zakein, and it also says v'Avraham v'sara zakeinim, they were elder. Ba'im ba'yamim, they came with days. Chadal liyos l'sara orach kanashim. And Sarah Imenu no longer had the way of women. Pirish. What that means is, on a deeper level, what does the Torah have to tell you that she was old and she no longer had the way of women. This is strong language to use. Orach kanashim, the way like women have. You just say she's old. I think we all understand that she couldn't have children, and for what reason she couldn't have children. She was 90 years old. Okay, I think that's in most medical books. So you know, why does the Torah have to add those words? So he's saying, no, it doesn't mean that. It means, Pirish ki gam hi hoise bebechinas dachar, she was also zakenim, she was also bestowing, umashpia bebechinas zakein, lechein lo hoyo melidim, because they were bestowing upon future generations. That's why they couldn't yet, interesting, they didn't have the future generations yet, but she wasn't in this place of receiving because she was in the place of giving. So, anyway, that's a lengthy discussion. I don't want to get bogged down on that. But Zakan Aaron, so the Pasuk is saying, the beard of Aaron, she yored al pi midosof, which descends according to his attributes. Kashanod le yodachen, as those who know these secrets, they know, ki bechina zaken. Okay, let me take a minute and explain this, because this is an important concept. There's a physical beard that grows on the face of a man. And it's not just for, you know, artistic, you know, all right, let's add some more stuff. Rather, these represent very high concepts. And so the holy books tell us, and we don't have time to elaborate on it, but that there are 13 sections to the face with the beard. And they correspond with the 13 attributes of mercy. The problem with this is that people will always take these metaphors into a very inappropriate place and think that, like, Hashem has a beard, but it's not like that. But whatever the beard is in this world, what it represents, that's what exists up on high, right? It's a metaphor for the attributes of mercy. And that's why we say that the hair on top of the head represents gevura and severity, and that's why it belongs more. Women should have hair on the head, but not men. They should keep that short. But the hair of the beard is rachamim, and that's the 13 attributes of mercy. That's the zakein, zekana chachma, and it from it comes positive spiritual influence. I know I'm not giving this enough, but that's what he's saying. Ki bechina zaken, the concept of the beard, whom yud gimel midos, that's the 13 attributes shatora nidrashas behem, which the Torah is expounded by. Hem bechinas yud gimel mechilan derachmi, which correspond with the 13 attributes of mercy. V'tzarech lamshicham la'olam hazeh, they have to come down into this world. Ayidei atzadik yisod olam, through the great tzadik, sheyesh bo midos alalu. And how does it come down through the great tzadik? Because he carries these 13 attributes. Right, that's what we know. The best way we daven Oyim Kippur again and again, we say the 13 attributes of mercy, because just the recitation of the 13 attributes of mercy can channel down mercy on us, and that's why we say it over and over again. But you know what channels down the 13 attributes of mercy even more than saying it? Doing it. Right. So that's why you need a tzaddik who does the 13 attributes, also merciful and kind and forgiving and generous and empathetic and compassionate and considerate and foregoing and forbearing and forgiving and, you know, all these. So he has to have notes, rachum, chanu, notes, chesed, v'kedoma. That's where Rabbi Shmuel says, shatorah nidreshes bam, these are also the 13 attributes which you expound the Torah by. Because the Torah is the attributes of Hashem also. Because when you expound on the 13 attributes of the Torah, you're also attaining these 13 attributes of mercy. That's why it says, all these things should be on your heart. Then you become a channel for these 13 attributes. And if you don't study the Torah this way, you're just learning Torah from the lips and outward, you're not fulfilling them, then you don't arouse these attributes. Anyway, back to where we are. Because Aaron did have all 13 attributes of mercy, which is where all this was going. So we need Aaron to awaken the 13 attributes. So these Kohanim, how are they supposed to do it? How is a Kohen Gadol who lives during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash supposed to reach this level of interacting with the 13 attributes of mercy like his grandfather Aaron? The answer is Zakan Aaron, because the beard of Aaron, Shiyored Alpimidosav, which descends according to his attributes with him down to his grandchildren, so he's there to help them. And so that's why the Torah uses Bezos Yavo Aaron, and that's why it has to be specifically through the Kohen Gadol. Now, so you'll say, okay, so that's a beautiful Torah, it explains the Pasuk in the Torah, but what do I do with this? The answer is really very simple. You're also a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, right? Inside your own Beis HaMikdash. Also the Mikdash v'shachanti b'selchav. And every person has to read the Avodah on Yom Kippur, and they should know that when they're shechting the power, you're also shechting the power. When they're sprinkling the blood, you're also, that's what, Shemei HaKohena, the Kohen Gadol is doing this service for us. So, if we want that, we also have to connect to these midos of Aaron. We have to be more compassionate and forgiving and forbearing and understanding and letting things go and welcoming. And if you want that, you should also be worthy to be a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in your own Beis HaMikdash.
We say by Brachas Kohen, I don't remember, but don't we say Kiddush Osor Shel Aaron? It's included in the bracha, no?
Right. But then Levar Chazam Yisrael be'ahava. Right. So that ahava also comes from Aaron HaKohen. He's the Oev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom. Right. Oev Esabrius and Mekarvan LaTorah. That's the Mitalmidav Shel Aaron HaKohen. So what the Torah is trying to tell you, what's clear, what the Torah is trying to tell you, is that if you want success on Yom Kippur, you got to bring Aaron HaKohen with you. Right. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to come too. Right. I mean, you have to keep the halachas, but. To earn this level of atonement, you got to bring some Aaron. You have to be Oev Shalom, Merodev Shalom, the 13 attributes of mercy which Aaron lived. And that's what the Kohen Gadol is carrying in with him. But in days of Beis HaMikdash, of course, he's learning that Aaron would mamish come in to the point where Shimon HaTzadik saw him. Okay, one more Torah, if I may. This is very deeply Kabbalistic. As if the previous were not. Right? But this is important because, number one, it connects to what we spoke about before Rosh Hashanah. But also it's important in order for us to understand how truly great the day of Yom Kippur is and what can be accomplished on that day. O Yomar, Amar Rabbi Akiva, said Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are you, the Jewish people. Lifnei atem mitaharim, before whom are you being purified? Umi mitahir aschem, and who purifies you? Avicham Shavashamayim, your father in heaven. The Omer, and also it says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is the mikvah of the Jewish people. Literally means hope, but we know mikvah. It also means mikvah. To say, Ma mikvah metayres atmeim, just like a mikvah purifies those who are tamei, Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu metayres Yisrael, Hashem also purifies the Jewish people. And this Mishnah, teaching of Rabbi Akiva, is usually associated with Lag BaOmer. For good reason, because me, lifnei me, atem etarim, me is 50, and it's connected to the 50 days of the Omer, but we'll see that that's also related to Yom Kippur, as we'll see. But we usually associate it with Lag BaOmer. But if you take a look, this Mishnah is actually the end of Masechtas Yoma, the last Mishnah in the Masechta on Yom Kippur. So it's actually Rabbi Akiva is talking about Yom Kippur. Even if we're singing him Lag BaOmer, it's because we're appreciating Rabbi Akiva on Lag BaOmer. But this Mishnah is about Yom Kippur. L'chor yesh l'daktik d'maisi v'omer. The problem is, the verse that he quotes, my raya ala kodem, who purifies you? Your father in heaven. And then he brings a pasuk of Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Achanira. So I want to suggest Rabbi Akiva Omer Davar Chadash B'Malas Yom Kippurim, that Rabbi Akiva is trying to tell us a new idea about the greatness of Yom Kippur. K'mo Shekasev, it says in the Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem Titharu, before Hashem, you should be purified. And this Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem Titharu, was recited out loud by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. This pasuk lifnei Hashem titaru, and when he said Hashem, he didn't say Hashem. He didn't say Heshen Mem, and he didn't even say Aleph Dalet Nun Yod, but he actually said Hashem's name. And when we heard that, we fell to our feet and we said Baruch Shem, right? So he's saying Ki Godol Kedushas Hayom, actually the greatness of this day, Ola Lamala Mi Olam Abina, actually transcends even the realm of Bina. Now, what's the realm of Bina? Let me give it to you in simple terms. Well, we know Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzachod, Yisod, the Malchus. Those are the names of the ten Sefiros. We're not learning the definitions of them, otherwise that'll be the rest of the class through Yom Kippur. But just to know, those are the realms. But the top three, Keser, Chachma, Bina, are the Mochin, the intellect. And then Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzachod, Yisod, Malchus are the Midas. We know this because within us, we have to organize our Keser Chachma Bina, or Chachma Bina Das, depending on what angle you're looking at it. That's in your head. And then you have to fix your Midos, your Chesed, your Gvur, your Tiferes, your Netzach, your Hod, your Yisod, and your Malchus. So we know that during the days of the Sefiras Omer, we only work on the lower seven. Chesed Sheba Chesed, Gvur Sheba Chesed, Netzach Sheba Hod, Malchus Sheba Yisod. We're fixing the lower seven. And when we fixed all lower seven times, how many is that? 49. Then what happens? We go up to 50. And what's 50? 50 is entering into the realm of Bina. Right? Because you've done the 7 times 7, so now you go up to the Mochem Bina, and that's where the Torah is given. That's Shavuos. So you're saying Yom Kippur is even higher than that. Yom Kippur is not just this world as it needs to be, but it's the world in a much higher realm before it became what it needs to be. And that's what it means, because Shavuos is when the day the Torah is given, and it's such a holy day, it's a day that's more closely connected to an earlier stage of creation. But Yom Kippur is even higher than that. V'zeh shekasav, that's why Yom Kippur, it's not me, which is 50, but lifnei me. Me, Ola Chamishim, me is 50, Nun Shara Bina, there's 50 gates of Bina, of understanding. Hu Olam HaTshuva, that's the realm of Tshuva, and Yom Kippur is even higher than that. V'zeh shekasav, im avonos tishmarka, Hashem, if you will guard and hold on to our sins, Adoshem, mi yamod. So, but the me, which means above all that, in the realm of tshuva, none of their sins exist. V'zeh lifnei mi, lamala mi olam abina, hu olam hakeser, because Yom Kippur connects to the realm of keser. Now, to understand, if I just say that Shavuos connects here, Yom Kippur connects here, what am I saying? But what is the realm of keser, the crown? Because when we think of intellect, we think of what's inside the head. Again, we're allowed to talk about these as metaphors. Please don't understand any of this literally. But Yibisari Echze Eloka is a pasuk in Iyov, which means that we can look at ourselves as and use it as a way to understand what's really going on from the upper realms. So when you have, what's the difference between your chachma, your wisdom, and your keser, your crown? Your chachma is inside your head. Your crown is above your head, which is a metaphor for what's above your intellect. What's above your intellect? What precedes your intellect? Your will. So while Chachma and Bina are associated with your thought processing, your Keser is your will. Right? Because before you can think about something, you have to want. You have to have will. Okay? So Hashem wanted to do good things. Hashem is Tov, and He's Tov without us. But Hashem is Tov Umeitiv. It can't be Meitiv without someone to receive the Hatava. That's what Hashem wanted. So Hashem just wants to do good. The problem is, you can't just do good, so you have to create a world where you have challenges and all that. But that's all afterwards. That's Chachma and Bina. That's processing. But originally, if we can connect to Hashem, what do you really want? You just want me to be good and I should receive good and then you can give me good things. So let's just go back there. Right? That's Lifnei. Going back to just the will of Hashem to create the world so that there should be good things. Nechaim b'yom kippurim, he says, this is why Yom Kippur, omrim kedushas keser b'chala tefilos. For those who daven nesach Ashkenaz, I can't help you, but for those who daven nesach Sfard, you know that even by Shacharis, we're saying keser yitnu l'cha Hashem elokeinu, and even those who daven nesach Ashkenaz, you're still using that Kedushas Keser, even if it doesn't have the word Keser in it, but you use the Musaf of Kedusha, even by Shacharis. The answer is, Romiz Lekeser, Hashem is Galabi, Yom Kippurim, because that's the place where we are in Yom Kippur. And even for those who don't have keser, you know what you do have? Aye. You know, Aye Mekom Kavodo, where is the place of his glory? So most people in the world of Pshat think that's a question, that the angels say, Aye Mekom Kavodo. But actually, the holy books understand it as a statement. There's a realm called Aye. And that's Mekom Kavodo. But it's a realm that's beyond our understanding, which is why it's called Aye, which is the same thing as saying, where is Hashem? But it's more like this concept called where. And that's why in your Machzor, you'll see that there is a moment where you can put in a prayer to ask for righteous children, Ruach HaKodesh, for exceptional wealth. What? Why there? The answer is because when the Chazan says, Ayei Mekom Kvodo, he's touching a button for that realm. And in that realm, Hashem just wants to give you everything, because that was the purpose of creation, to be Meitiv. So you can use that moment to insert a tefillah to accomplish any of these great things. V'zeho, that's why it says, Lifnei Hashem titaharu. The word titaharu, taf tes hei reish vav, 409, 414, 614, 620, bigamatria keser. The word titaru is the numerical value of keser. We saw a similar Torah in the Mor of Hashemesh for those who want to look back at that. But the idea that the word titharu lifnei Hashem means you're coming to a place not just where you're pure, but where everything is pure, where the purpose of creation is only for goodness and purification. Well, then maybe I'm pausing, and that's what we mean when we say mikveh Yisrael. Ma mikveh matar, just like a mikveh purifies. Yadua inyan azaz shlishi yoshvi betamei meis. We know that when someone comes into contact with a dead body or in the same tent with a dead body, so now he's tamei. The only way to become purified, which is why we none of us are able to do so, is because you need a para aduma. And everyone thinks that it's just the para aduma. You sprinkle the paraduma on day 3 and day 7, and then what? So the halacha is that if someone gets sprinkled on day 3 and day 7, and they do nothing else, they remain tamei. They still have to go to the mikvah. No one ever gets out of tumah of their body without going to the mikvah. Even paraduma, you've been sprinkled by the ashes of the paraduma on day 3 and day 7, then you can go to the mikvah, then you can become purified. So he says, that's just the external purification. That's just the preparation for the mikvah. In other words, the mikvah is what purifies you. When you're a Tamei Meis, you need a long process to prepare yourself to be ready to go to the mikvah. Ki achar azah, because after you sprinkle, unichnas b'mikvah, v'atar makefas osakulo, because in the mikvah, what's the difference between being sprinkled with purification waters and being in a mikvah? Because the mikvah is an example of a mitzvah that completely envelops you. You are inside of it, and if there is even one part, even a tiny strand of hair that's sticking out of the water, person is not tohor. What do you mean? They got 99.9%. It's good enough for Lysol. Why isn't it good enough for the mikvah? The answer is because you have to be completely inside of it. V'zeh mikveh Yisrael Hashem, and you should know that Hashem is the same kind of mikvah. So you remember, we talked about it, was only last week, but it was also last year, so I understand it's hard to remember. But we talked about how this power of the shofar is that when you're hearing the sound of the shofar, b'chatzotzes v'kol shofar hariyu lifnei hamelech Hashem, that moment that the sound of the shofar sounds, all the Jewish people become one unit. And when we are one unit, we are standing in the presence of Hashem as if we're all in the Holy of Holies. That's what he talked about by shofar. Now he's saying what can be accomplished during the sound of the shofar, that special moment with those special thoughts, that's true the whole day of Yom Kippur. Kaviyachol machnis osam besochu kedei letaram, just like a mikvah is metaher es atmeim, afa kadosh baruch hu, means in the same way, Hashem takes you inside of himself Kaviyachol. K'mar Shikasav, and he quotes the same source he quoted last week, V'kriyas Yamsuv, Shenemar Legozer Yamsuv Ligzarim, Hashem sliced the sea into slices, Ki La'olam Chaslo, V'hever Yisrael B'socho, and he brought the Jewish people through them. B'socho? The answer is B'socho through Hashem. Ki La'olam Chaslo. Shukfelas advarim, it's a repetition. Achzehu neis chadash, that was what we said was the miracle. Shehever Yisrael b'socho, Hashem brought the Jewish people through him. Because Hashem created a world, and in the world out there, prosecution is allowed. The angels go up there and they say, the Jewish people, they're doing this, they're doing this, and therefore terrible things can happen. But when Hashem takes us in, meaning when we connect to that place before any of these bad things need to happen, in the place where Hashem just wants to do good, when Hashem takes you in, at that moment there's no prosecution. So all of Yom Kippur is Hashem enveloping us in the holiness of the day to take us to a place, bepnimius, inside the Holy of Holies, b'makom she'ein bo maga nachri, where no stranger, no foreigner can touch, meaning like if a guy touches wine, he can make it. Right? So this is a place that is unable to be touched. That's what's happening on Yom Kippur, meaning, like we said before, that every person is like a Kohen Gadol in your own Beis Hamikdash, because you're supposed to be a Mishkan, and the your eyes are the menorah, and etc. Your nose is the Mizbeach HaKetores, and your mouth is the shulchan, right? All you're but you have a kodesh kadashim, you have a holy of holies, and in that holy of holies you have to enter there on Yom Kippur. And he's saying we're all there on Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur we're connecting to that place of holy of holies, which is the place where Hashem just wants to connect to the Jewish people, the place before judgment, the place before there's any need for even evil. And that's why on Yom Kippur there's no prosecution. Ha-Satan, He-Shin-Tes-Nun is the numerical value of 364. Because the Satan, he doesn't live on our calendar. He lives on his calendar. His calendar is the Esavite calendar, which has 365 days, but he only works 364 days of the year, and one day of the year he takes off, because all the Jewish people are inside Yom Kippur. We're inside the Holy of Holies. We are Lifnei Hashem. We are Lifnei Hashem Titharu. We are connected to the Keser. We are Lifnei Mi Atem Mitaharim. We are inside this mikvah of holiness, of Kedusha, that relates to this place where Hashem only wants to do good things for us. V'zehu ha'inyan gam ken b'yam kippurim. Canal, this is what's happening on Yom Kippur. May all of us be zocha that if we even understand a little bit of this, but even if you don't understand all of it, but we can all be there. We should recognize that the greatness of the day of Yom Kippur, once again, the greatness of the ninth and of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, is that we can elevate everything for the whole year. And then he went to Bezos Yavo Aaron, saying that the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh Kadashim with Aaron HaKohen, because you need these attributes of mercy, and only Aaron really accomplished that, and they need the help. And now we're saying that every person can have this. We can elevate everything we've done all year. We also can work on our attributes of mercy, but mostly we should appreciate that the day of Yom Kippur is the day we come so close to Hashem, that Lifnei Hashem Titaru, we are all purified. All of us should be zocha to a gemar chasim teva and a complete purification, and all of us should see a good gevenchtir.
Amen. Amen. You as well. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.